This is Marianne McNellis. In just a few seconds, you're going to be listening to Our Town, which is one of the quality local programs you've come to rely on from KPTZ. Would you please take a minute to go to kptz.org right now and become a sustaining member, or make a one-time contribution to ensure that you can continue to enjoy programs like Our Town for years to come. Thank you for your support, and thank you for listening to KPTZ. Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. You're listening to KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. For our virtual listeners, we hope your device stays locked onto our website, kptz.org. I'm Marianne McNellis. The show is called Our Town. The show highlights some of the diverse personalities that make Jefferson County, Washington, so very special. This is the winter of our discontent, season two. Positions have hardened. There's a clear line in the sand. Right now, careers are being made and lost, literally, over a pinprick. As they say, who'da thunk it? I'm speaking to you from inside our studio at KPTZ's world headquarters in the sweet little trailer in the parking lot of the Mountain View School. It's wonderful doing interviews in person again. We have rules that are different than a couple of years ago. Probably you do, too. But in-person interviews are really much better than some other technological means. On some level, interviewing people can be a bit like playing poker. Watching your guests is key to the process. A shrug, a smile, a frown can mean something. You read your guests just like they read you. Let's face it, lots of things are better in person. Interviewing, and what about romance? Online dating is fine, but I got a feeling some of it's better in person. As our regular listeners know, Our Town's not gotcha journalism. It's a spotlight on a particular person in a particular moment in time. 2021 is quite different than, for example, 2007 or 2008. Wait a minute. Those were years that were sort of memorable for a different reason. I think we called it the Great Recession. Wonder what they're going to call this. Our Town profiles all sorts of people in the community, from firefighters to foodies, bus drivers and baristas, even the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. Jefferson County still teems with deer, otter, and magnificent soaring eagles, but like the rest of the globe and everyone living here, we all face the gritty reality of 2021. Our mission on Our Town is to introduce you to some of the fascinating people who make up the complex fabric of this community. This is one way to let you meet some new people, even if you still aren't going out too much. My guest today is Gina Landon, the owner of the Farm and Sea Restaurant in Port Hadlock. It's a new restaurant opening doors in July of 2020. But before we get to that incredibly gutsy opening, let's get to know Gina a bit. So welcome to the show, Gina.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I always like to start sort of at the beginning. Were you a local girl born and bred right here in Jefferson County?
I was not.
Okay. Where do you come from?
Well, I grew up 30 miles east of Seattle in the Snoqualmie Valley in a little town called Fall City.
Okay. And did you go to high school there?
I went to high school at Mount Si High School in Snoqualmie.
Now, isn't that school known for something besides your graduation?
Well, if you've ever watched Twin Peaks, it was the story in my area.
Ah, okay. Well, that's sort of interesting. My high school was much more boring than that. I don't know anyone interesting who went there. Oh, Frank Zappa.
Nice.
Okay, so were you one of the rare kids who had your life all mapped out? You knew exactly what you were going to do?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Did you work any part-time jobs when you were in high school?
I did. I worked at a little hamburger to-go place in Fall City called Small Fries at the age of 14 and until I graduated high school.
Okay. And did you sort of have increasing responsibilities as you worked there?
I did.
What'd you end up doing? Did you graduate to cooking?
Well, it was a high school job, let's just say that.
Okay. All right.
Not a lot of movement forward in that position.
Okay. And so what did you do next after that?
Well, after I graduated high school, I moved up to Orcas Island, where my dad was living at the time, and owned a restaurant, and I worked for him.
Okay. What kind of restaurant?
again, it was more of a hamburger ice cream place. And then he moved his restaurant to the waterfront in East Sound on Orcas Island.
Pretty place.
Yes, beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, lovely. But, you know, even like Port Townsend is, that's a place that's driven by tourism and seasons. How was it during the winter, or did you do something different during the winter?
Definitely worked in multiple restaurants on the island. It definitely is seasonal, a lot like Port Townsend. At one point, I ended up moving to the U.S. Virgin Islands and working the season up there, which is opposite seasons of Washington.
Wow. How'd you think of going to the Virgin Islands?
I had a hostess whose daughter was moving there and doing some studies for her college, and she was looking for somebody to go with her.
Uh-huh.
And I was young and on a small island, bored, and
wanted an adventure.
Exactly. Raised my hand, said, I'll go. And yeah. I just up cool. and went.
Cool. Yeah. That's really cool. And how long did you spend doing that?
I did the two seasons up there. So the seasons were, like I said, were opposites. After the second season, I ended up pregnant and moved back to Orcas and had my child.
I see. And your child is a boy or girl?
He's a boy.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Good. It must be tough. I don't have any kids. Raising kids is incredibly challenging to do. And so did you raise him always on Orcas Island?
I did not. We only stayed about a year there. And then I moved to Port Townsend. And he was raised in Port Townsend.
Cool. So why Port Townsend?
Well, the father and I were going to a food show over in Seattle, and we decided to catch the Bainbridge Island Ferry and then catch the Port Townsend Ferry across. And we noticed that there was a restaurant for sale around the corner from Don's Pharmacy. It's Edward Jones now, but it used to be a little restaurant, and we were going to get coffee, and we saw it was for sale, and we took the number down, and we ended up getting that restaurant.
Wow. And so you had both a young baby and a new restaurant.
And a puppy.
And yes. a puppy yes. all at once. A triple threat. Which yeah. was the most challenging?
The puppy, I believe. Or maybe the husband. I don't know.
Yes. I can see that. Well, some of our listeners probably remember the restaurant. What was it called?
Oh, it was only in operation for 3 years. It was called the Bayside Grill. When my lease was up, the restaurant went, and so did the husband.
Okay. And life moves on.
Yes, absolutely.
And so what did you do next?
Next, I worked at the Otter Crossing Cafe, which is now Hudson Point Cafe, for Heather Polizzi. I managed with that restaurant with her for a couple years. Mm-hmm. And then I decided to do another restaurant.
Okay. So what was that one?
That one was Victorian Square Deli. It's under the Bead Store. It's now the Cellar Door.
Yes.
I had a little deli down there for about 7 years, and then I sold it to Mark, who owned the Upstage, and he made a little deli for a little while, and then it was Necesito Burrito for a while. Now the Cellar Door.
Yeah. There's a lot turnover in restaurants in Port Townsend. I don't know if it's the same in every town, but certainly I've noticed it around here.
Yes, it's hard to, it's a hard job to own a restaurant.
I think it would be. And so after the deli, what was next?
When Mark bought the restaurant, I had a little candy store in there, so I moved the candy store up on the main street. So after I moved the candy store up onto the main street, I was in business with a place called Seems to Last. We just shared a space, and she does children's clothing. And that lasted a couple years, but it really financially wasn't viable. So then I took a job at the soda fountain, managing the soda fountain at Don's Pharmacy.
And do you happen to remember what year that was?
Oh, that was, I want to say, around 2012.
Okay. Now, I've had Don on the show before, and I do know that his father had the pharmacy before him, and his father died when Don was at university, and he ultimately graduated, came back, and took it over. But I'm curious about one thing, and I didn't ask him this, but was the soda fountain there under his father first, or did he put it in? Do you have any idea?
Yes, the soda fountain was there under his father. And actually, I believe the location they had on in the Baker building, they had a soda fountain there. I'm not quite sure. So they had moved the soda fountain from the Baker building when his father bought the business, and then when they moved to the current location. So the soda fountain's always been there, yes. Ah.
Well, like many people in town, I've certainly been a customer at the soda fountain, and it has rather or had rather a unique flavor. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, I loved working at the soda fountain. It did. It just made that business work well with the pharmacy and, you know, the store and just the generations and generations of people coming in there and just telling their stories. And it was a unique experience to work there. And I'm sad that it's not up and running still.
Yeah, me too. But how did it, you may not be able to answer this, but how did it attain that level of sort of mythology of a community gathering place?
Oh, I think the staff that worked there probably was what maintained that. We had ongoing people that had worked there as waitresses for 20, 30 years almost. Lois Black, Sam Johnson, and her sister Pam, and I think that's what brought people there a lot. The food was basic food, but people enjoyed it, and I think a lot of, lonelier, older people that maybe have lost a partner or whatever would show up there and felt welcomed, and everybody, it was like a sense of community there, definitely.
Yeah, you're right. I did have Sam Johnson on the show a while back before the pandemic, and she told me some things I didn't realize, one of which was just about the seating arrangements there. Mm-hmm. Apparently, certain regulars had certain places they wanted to sit. How did that work?
They did, definitely. They liked to hang around where the waitresses stood around because everybody wanted to talk to each other and find out how their day or week is going, or they're just getting back from Arizona, and but yes, everybody had their little seating area that they prefer. Sometimes they got it, sometimes they didn't.
Yeah, well, what happens if an unwitting tourist comes in and plops himself or herself down at a regular spot?
Oh, yeah, people were flexible.
People are really creatures of habit, I must say, things like that. I think it starts in grammar school. People, have certain seats. Certain people always sit up front. Certain people always sit in the back. Yeah. Unless you go to the kind of school where they, put you in alphabetical or something, then you don't have much of a choice there.
Absolutely, yes. I would say they ordered the same thing every time. That's what we always knew. Oh, there's Chocolate Shake Man. Or we can never remember their names, but we can always remember what they ordered.
Well, that's good. Yes. To be known by your milkshake.
Yes. Because
it has a certain flair to it. Wow. So were you still working for Don's when the pandemic set in?
I was. I signed a 5-year lease at the Farm and Sea Grill at the end of February. I was still working at Don's. The former owner had passed away, unfortunately, and I was able to buy some equipment from them and sign a lease. And I was still working for Don's because I needed to get the restaurant back into shape again. And so when the pandemic hit, or when we had the shutdown at the end of March, I was still working for Don, yes.
Some people may not recognize, they may still think of your restaurant by its previous name, mm-hmm. which was?
Scampi and Halibuts.
Okay. And so now it's called The Farm and the Sea.
Farm and Sea Grill.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, the name is sort of a giveaway as to what you serve. But, I think all restaurants try to have a sort of a feeling to them and a flavor. So how would you describe, you're sort of a neophyte restaurant at this point, mm-hmm. but what would you describe as the spirit and tone behind your restaurant?
Well, that's interesting you say that. In the beginning, I had this vision, and then the pandemic hit, and then my vision changed a little bit. The Farm and Sea, basically, if anybody's ever tried to name a business, it's one of the hardest things to do. And so my vision was, you know, we have the wonderful Chimicum Farms that meet the Hadlock Sea, and that's where I got the Farm and Sea. I wanted to bring a lot of, you know, local product. And it just seemed like right now, when the pandemic first hit, it was hard to do that because we were limited capacity, then we were to go only. And I'm still trying to do that, bring in more local, fresh product.
So you were going for fresh local produce. Mm-hmm. But of course, we're sort of in the wintertime now, which makes it even more difficult to get everything fresh. But here's another issue at the moment. Just this morning, I was listening to the TV news, and they were talking about the jump in prices and the supply chain breakdowns. Has it impacted your restaurant?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. It's hard to get food right now. And when, like this week, I can't buy chicken from my major person I buy from, and or clam strips. So, yes, it's the supply chain has been broken, yes, yeah. Definitely. And products have gone up so much right now. And so when you see prices go up on menus, that's the reason why.
Yeah, I can understand that. But what short term, what do you do? Like you're mentioning this week in particular, chicken is hard to come by. And when we talked the other day, you mentioned pickles.
Yes.
Were a problem, you know?
I know. Well, after I leave here, I'm going to run to Safeway and pick up some chicken breasts and cook them up is what I'm going to do. I don't have the time to go to Cash and Carry, which is in Bremerton, which is a lot of restaurants do, or Costco. But,
yeah, you don't have the time.
I don't have the time.
Energy. So. And furthermore, the price of gas has gone through the roof too.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, a trip to Bremerton will cost you on that end.
Absolutely. Time is expensive as well.
Exactly. So do you, if let's say for some reason you couldn't get chicken this week, which I think you can, but anyway, what do you do? Do you actually change the menu or say we're out of chicken this week?
Just say we're out of it. People are really good about understanding that we're going through a pretty difficult time. Getting food or getting help in general, you know, as well.
Yeah, so. I attempted to go to one restaurant recently, and they had their door was locked, and there was a sign on the door saying, "Due to staffing shortages, we're no longer open on 2 days a week." Is that happening all over? Or?
Oh, I think so. Yes, I am shut down on Sundays and Mondays for the same reason. And it's been a problem throughout the whole summer. I would say it might be getting better now, but we'll see.
You, because you worked at Don's for a long time, and obviously Don's lunch counter has not reopened. I think everyone is aware of that. I understand some of the previous waitresses at Don's have joined you.
Yes, I actually have 5 former Don's employees working for me now.
Good.
Well, they're the ones I hired when I worked at Don's, so I know them. I know their ethics, and they have been a huge help in getting my restaurant going.
That's great.
And I appreciate all of them.
Is some of that same, I don't know, jovial, fun side coming out at your restaurant?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sam's working there a few days a week, and she's the jovial one.
Yes, she certainly is.
Yes, I have Sherry and myself, and then there's a couple people in the kitchen that are working there as well.
Okay. But staff remains sort of hard to get for you as well as everyone else.
Yes, absolutely. I'd say cooks are the hardest to come by. Waitresses are a little bit easier.
Okay. It's a very tough business to be in.
Absolutely.
At any time. I mean, I admire you for standing up and fighting for it. I mean,
Thank you. Yeah, it's
hopefully things will ease. I mean, all the signs are things are easing right now. Who knows, but now, the state of Washington has imposed certain mandates and instructions for restaurants. Among the instructions are you're supposed to check, or someone at your restaurant is supposed to check for vaccination status. Has that been bumpy, or has it gone smoothly?
It's been bumpy. I would say throughout the whole pandemic, people were pretty good about everything, about wearing masks for the most part. In the beginning, that was a little rough. But when we had to ask for a proof of vaccination, that's when the angry people came out. And we're against it. I'm in the county, so a little more pushback, I think, in the county than probably in Port Townsend. But
we don't need to name names or anything, but what sort of thing have happened? Has it just been a sort of a scene at the front where they come in, or are they doing anything else?
It starts out in the scene as a scene in the front, and they get angry enough to where they threaten to post poor reviews online, to just making a scene for everybody else to hear. I mean, I do have a sign prior to walking in that explains that I'm following the Jefferson County mandate for proof of vaccination. And at that point, they can make their choice. You know, I want to protect my customers, myself, and my employees. And
right.
And they have a choice. They can either come in and show me proof, or they can leave.
As far as you know, have any of them carried through on the threats and posted negative stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's been a few. Now yes.
That's really terrible.
Yes, that's the hardest part, because I'm a new restaurant. And,
yeah.
You know, if you read reviews in general, you know, really look at the negative reviews and see where they're coming from, because a lot of them are just people trying to get back at you. There's, you know, I'm sure there's legitimate
Yeah.
poor reviews, but
there might be, but this sounds more vindictive.
It is. It has been vindictive. It's been ugly, I think, in general, just not in the restaurant business, but everywhere.
It's hard enough to have a business without that sort of thing going on.
I've been in the restaurant business, like I said, since I was 14, and this is the roughest it has ever been in my life. Not only is it just hard to run a business, but then you have this other stuff on top of it that makes it harder.
Okay. Well, I think it sounds like, despite all of this, you're coming along. You said you had a pretty good summer.
I had a great summer, yes.
And things are often slow for everyone in the off months, but hopefully things will continue on the upside.
Yes.
Because I think we need good restaurants and good local people working at and running them. And so I want to congratulate you for having a new restaurant.
Well, thank you. It's kind of been a rough road this year and a half,
yeah.
for sure.
Well, okay, so like all entrepreneurs, you probably work 24/7 personally, but do you get any time off? Do you have any, I don't know, I want to say hobbies, but that's not the right word. What
right.
do you do whenever, aside from sleep?
Right now, I really have not had any time off. When we were to go's only, you know, I couldn't really afford to have anybody else but myself and a cook, or me cooking and, you know, a waitress or whatever. And I do work too much, and
yeah.
I am closed 2 days a week, but one of those days I'm down there, you know, 7 hours just doing the basic cleaning, recycling, and all that kind of stuff that needs to be done when you can't be open.
That's
so I haven't
time.
Had any time off. I am going to probably close down for a week in February and, you know,
yeah.
take a vacation.
Yeah. Sleep and recuperate.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I wish you the best with your restaurant. So we're just about out of time here, but I always like to ask people, what is it they like about living on the Olympic Peninsula? Why are you here versus I don't know where?
Oh, I think it's a good balance of everything on the peninsula, really. Like I said, I lived up on Orcas Island. Beautiful, expensive, couldn't afford to buy a house there.
Yeah.
And it was hard to get on and off the island a lot. Here, it has everything. It has the water, the mountains. You can get to Seattle easily if needed. It was a great place to raise my son. He got a great education. He went on to college and graduated college. And
great.
I love the area. I love the people. I've gotten to know so many great people here.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. My guest today has been Gina Landon, the owner of the Farm and the Sea restaurant in Port Hadlock. It's a new restaurant in the quarters of previously Scampi and Halibut. So if you still remember that name, you probably know where it is. And give it a try. I don't mind saying that it is really great to see people stepping up and opening businesses. And let's hope that Gina and other people make it through. As we all know, some businesses have picked up and left, and it's really sad. So I just want to ask a little bit about the magic that is the team behind the Soda Fountain Girls, let's call it that, although it's girls too, I'm saying it in a positive way,
right,
you know,
like,
It always struck me that there was a real team spirit there.
We're all really good friends, and when we take time off, when we get a little time off, we actually spend it together.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, you know, like I said, we miss all our old customers, and it's, you know, they are coming out to my restaurant now so they can see all of us and we can see how they're doing, and now that things are
that's
opening
great
up a little bit.
Well,
so
I don't know, you probably don't have a mailing list, but how did you get the word out to your local, your regulars? Oh, your previous regulars?
People have asked, people go into Don's and ask where is this person or that person, and they've been good about, you know, saying where we're at now.
Okay.
Yeah, social media too.
Okay. Yeah. So I think most of our listeners know that Don's Pharmacy has been sold now. And the new owner, do you have any insight? Are they ever going to reopen the Soda Fountain, or is that now a thing of the past?
I'm hoping they'll reopen at some point. I think they have a lot to do to get it reopened. And you're going to have to find the right person to do it.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping they'll reopen, because it is what makes that place.
Yeah, well, hopefully
lively
your place.
And great.
Okay, thank you again for being on the show. You've been listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. We're a community radio station. So listeners, stay safe, stay healthy. I'm signing off for today. But please keep listening to KPTZ for more dynamic, informative community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production, created by Marianne McNellis and edited by Sunny Flores.